Chapter 5. The Sarnas refinery stood scattered across the barren plain below, spanning 100 square kilometers of dust and stone. Hundreds of flex-sized land speeders were whizzing back and forth, running between the dark polygons of distant structures. Studying the far horizon, Leia could just make out a line of fiery orange crash pits, a series of jagged notches still aglow with the heat of recent impacts. In the middle of the plain, she saw the enormous spinning domes of more than 20 grinding mills, surrounded by a web of the transport tubes that fed and emptied them.
A lot of those repulsive A-lines are over 50 kilometers long,
Lando was explaining over the comm channel. Dressed in a yellow standard-issue pressure suit, he stood at the edge of a narrow pullout, pointing to the facilities they would soon be visiting. Lando wanted the Solos to understand the refining process so they would be able to recognize any illicit refineries they happened to come across. But clearly, he enjoyed having the chance to show the place off.
Our crash pits are located well away from the work areas,
Lando continued.
When those astroliths come down, they can scatter debris for dozens of kilometers.
Of course, we try to contain the scatter with deflector shields,
added Lando's operations chief, Dina Use. She was standing by the landspeeder, watching for approaching traffic, because they had parked in the only pullout on the switchbacking route down into the production basin.
But we still lose 3% of our ore to spray out.
Leia chinned the microphone toggle inside her helmet, then asked,
how much of the astrolith do you lose to other causes?
Astrolith, Dina had explained earlier, was the term mining engineers used for the asteroid fragments prepared by the breaker crews.
I'd think a lot of ore would vaporize on impact, or simply sink into the crash pit walls.
That's why we have beam generators and particle shields,
Lando said.
As the astrolith drops into the atmosphere, we slow it down with repulsor beams and guide it in with tractor beams. And crash pits are lined with particle shields to keep the ore inside the pit where we want it.
The process is quite controlled,
said Dina.
The astroliths arrive with just enough momentum to smash one another into chunks. When those chunks are small enough to transport, they fall down a collection funnel into the repulsive air line and are transported to a grinding mill.
You must have a lot of safeguards, right?
Han asked. He was standing at the opposite end of the pullout, studying the nearest crash pit, Crash Pit 1, through a pair of electrobinoculars.
I mean, there's no chance a lift could get away from you, right?
Of course not,
Dina said.
Sarnas has a thin atmosphere and weak gravity, but those astroliths run 10 million tons. An uncontrolled drop would cause a huge burn-off, and we'd have massive impact disintegration. We'd lose most of what we dropped.
And probably have the refinery, too.
Lando's tone grew wary.
But I'm sure you know all that, Han. Why are you asking?
It's probably nothing,
Han said, raising the shoulders of his bright yellow pressure suit.
I'm just wondering if those beam nozzles should be pointing at the smelter houses.
What?
Lando crossed the pullout in 3 quick strides, then took the electrobinoculars from Han and turned them on the nearest crash pit.
Dina, do you have any maintenance scheduled for Crash Pit 1?
Not until next week.
Means something's wrong,
Lando said.
I see 3... No. Make that 4 tractor beams out of alignment. And Han's right. It looks like they're turned toward the smelting center.
That can't be,
Dina said.
The turret mounts have safety chocks on them. The beam nozzles can only turn a few degrees, just enough to help with the lock-on.
Lando laid a finger over the control pad on the top of the electrobinoculars, then said,
well, they've turned around somehow. You'd better get on the comm to plant control and find out what's happening. Now!
Of course,
Dina said.